About 2,000 or so years ago, a man called Jesus asked his friends a question. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And not long after that, at 3 o'clock on a Friday outside Jerusalem, that same man we call Jesus Christ was tortured, he was nailed to a cross, and he died. That and what happened on Sunday morning is a pivotal point on human history. Last week, we started a new sermon series looking at the big questions that people have about Christianity. Last week, we thought a little about whether or not we can trust the Bible. I've had some interesting conversations this week about whether or not we can trust the Bible. If you've got questions, carry on asking them to me. I do enjoy people coming in and asking questions. And today we're looking at Jesus, about his existence, about who he was and what he came to do. And the question, who do you say that I am, I think is as relevant today as it was when Jesus first asked the question. We'll get back to that in a moment. There are still some people today who believe that Jesus wasn't a historical character, that he was made up by the church to prop up the story of the beginnings of the church. So let's get that question out of the way. The question is, did Jesus exist? Was he made up? Whenever you date a letter, where you look at your calendar, you confirm unknowingly the existence of Jesus. Today is the 21st of July, 2019. 2019 years since what? Since the invention of the wheel? No. Since the last time we won the Eurovision Song Contest? Pretty much. No. No. History is divided between BC and AD, before Christ and after he lived. He existed. Last week, we considered the reliability of the Bible, and we learned that the integrity and purity of any old manuscripts depends on the number of documented manuscripts and fragments that still exist. And we learned that there's more evidence for the New Testament than there is of Plato or Homer's Iliad, given the number of manuscripts we still have in existence. Even more copies of the New Testament and fragments of the New Testament than there are of original copies of Shakespeare. Wow, no one ever argues that Shakespeare existed. Interesting. So, that's fair enough, you may say. Even if you want to dismiss the evidence of the Bible being historically accurate, you can't dismiss Jesus' presence in other historical writings. These are just three little examples of ancient historical texts, it's all a bit of history today, that mention Jesus and his followers. None of whom were Christians. They weren't people who had an axe to grind. They were historians of the day who record, as historians do, what goes on in their times. So three instances. There's one additional one I want to read out to you. It's from a document called Antiquities of the Jews, written nearing the end of the first century. Now, there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ. And when Pilate had condemned him to the cross, those who loved him at the first did not forsake him, For he appeared to them alive on the third day, as the divine prophet had foretold. And the tribe of Christians, as named after him, are not extinct at this day. Well, we're not extinct yet at this day either. So even ancient historians clarify that Jesus was a flesh and blood first century man, as real as Nelson or Napoleon or Winston Churchill. Nobody quibbles about their existence. And even Richard Dawkins, that world famous atheist, admits that Jesus was a historical character who existed. It's what he existed for is the question. Who do you say that I am? That's the question we're asking today. A question that Jesus poses to his friends and the disciples. I wonder what your answer to that would be. Now, some of you, looking at you, I know have been Christians forever. And you know what your answer to that question is. And you may be thinking, well, you're not sharing anything I don't know already this morning, Louise. You're not teaching me anything new. Well, true. But I want to ask you a question. Whilst you're listening to what I say this morning, what does Jesus still mean to you today? Are you believing and following him still with the same passion, with the same integrity that you did when you first said your yes? When was the last time you had a conversation with someone about Jesus and the difference that he makes in your life? When was the last time that you spoke about the hope that you have and the difference that Jesus makes? We all sometimes need to be reminded of the basics of our faith. So that's for you who are Christians. Now, I know that many of us here this morning aren't Christians. If this is new to you this morning, if you've come to celebrate Isaac this morning, or if you're visiting and you're exploring your faith and you think this is all a bit odd, church is all a bit odd. Yes, some of us are a bit odd, to be fair. What does this mean to you? We've heard that this morning we believe that Isaac is welcomed into God's family. We hope and pray that one day Isaac will be able to answer that question for himself. Who do you say that I am? And he will be able to answer, you are my Lord and my Saviour. That's our prayer. But who do you say that I am? Let's hear what it says in Scripture from Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, if you remember anything about the story of Simon Peter, he was a man who messed up regularly. He was a man who was always putting his foot in it, always saying the wrong thing. And I want to kind of give him a clap, because at last he's got something right. At last he's not thinking without speaking. He's getting it. It's a penny drop moment in Scripture when he says completely the right thing. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, I wonder what we would have said if we were asked that question. What would you have come up with? Who do you say that I am? Maybe you would have said, you're a healer. There are many stories of Jesus healing. There are many stories of him touching people and changing people in the Bible. Women healed from bleeding, men healed from leprosy, the deaf, the blind, the mute. Hundreds of stories in Scripture. You might have said Jesus is a healer, and you would be right. You might have said Jesus is a teacher. He taught with great clarity. He opened people's eyes to the kingdom of God. He told stories called parables that made complicated things really simple so that people could see that God was interested in them. You might say, well, Louise, I don't really know, but I know that the Bible talks about miracles. Great miracles that Jesus did in the Bible. The first one he did, he turned water into wine at a wedding. That is a great miracle. The wine had run out, and Jesus turned water into wine. Wow. I'm sure you could all come up with other stories. He fed people with a few fishes and bread. He had control over nature. He could calm a storm with just a word. He could wither a tree with a word. And he helped his friends after a night of no fishing with just a word. All of a sudden, their nets were filled. He set people free from unclean spirits. He raised Lazarus back to life again. You might say he's a miracle worker. And he was. You might say he was a friend of sinners. Jesus was a person who spent time with everybody. Didn't matter who you were or what your background was. Tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes and publicans and foreigners. He was all of those things. But he was something more. And Peter calls him Messiah and the Son of the Living God. Well, what does that mean? Messiah comes from a Hebrew word which means the anointed one or the chosen one. In Old Testament times, prophets and priests and kings were anointed with oil on the forehead as they were set apart to do what they were asked to do. It was a sign that God wanted them to be special and set apart for the task he'd given them to do. That's the word Messiah. The Greek word Christ is the Greek equivalent. And so when we hear in the New Testament of John of the calling of the disciples, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and say, we found the Messiah. That is the Christ. The Messiah. When Jesus came to earth as a Son of God, wrapped in human flesh, leaving the glory of heaven, people were expecting a Messiah who would set Israel free from being an occupied state, set them free from being under control of their Roman masters. They weren't expecting the sort of man that Jesus turned out to be. They were expecting somebody who would deliver them from the soldiers. And this Messiah came to deliver them from themselves and their sin. One of the first, most famous verses in the Bible, which I'm sure most of us know, is this, John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's what a Messiah does. Christians believe that Jesus didn't just waft around in a white nightie and great sandals, helping little old ladies cross the road and being a bit of a stereotype. He was more than that. He wasn't just a healer. He wasn't just, although that is amazing, and he still heals today. We've heard stories already today that that's still true. He wasn't just a teacher, although he still teaches us today spiritual truths that we hear from no one else, because he is the way and the truth and the life. He wasn't just a miracle worker doing things that were supernaturally unexplainable by any other way. He was a friend of sinners. What does that mean? The Bible says this in Romans chapter 5. God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ dies for us. Christians believe in the big story of a Messiah called Jesus, who was crucified on a cross at Easter, who died, who was put in a grave, but doesn't stay dead, but reigns and rises again to show the power of God, who saves us. What do you need saving from? Well, that tells us. While we were still sinners, sin. That's a very churchy word, and it's bandied around a lot. Sin is when we choose to live for ourselves and not for God. When we think that we are self-sufficient and can do everything in our own power. Sin is when we ignore God and his own and his ways, and all of it gets in the way. It gets in the way of us getting to know who God is. I don't know what you think about all of this. I know that some of you have been Christians for many years, and you need to hear this too and be reminded that God is crazy about us. That's good, isn't it? God loves us. His love for us, whoever we are, is unlimited. It is unconditional. It is free. You don't need to be someone who you are not. God wants us to start by being in relationship with him. And because our rubbish gets in the way, all the crud that fills up our life, all the baggage that we carry with us, he made a way for that to happen. And that way was Jesus Christ. And most of us know that story. Jesus wrapped in human flesh as a baby who grew up to be the man that was put on a cross. A teacher and a healer and a savior, who died on the cross carrying our sins so that we do not have to. That's good news. So that we can begin again. So that we can start afresh every day. So that we can be forgiven. This is good news. Jesus is the Messiah. He's also the Son of God. The one who makes our forgiveness and our new life possible by dying with words of forgiveness on his lips. Mark's gospel says this: and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Jesus asks his closest friends, "Who do you say that I am?" And that's the question I'm going to leave with you. Who do you say that Jesus is? At some point, everyone has to determine who they believe Jesus to be. Because I believe everyone's eternal future pivots on that answer. Who do you say that I am? So what is it for you? Is it just a question in a talk that you're desperate for it to finish? Or is it an answer that could be the beginning of an amazing discovery? I know that when I discovered who Jesus was, that changed my life. That changed my world. Nothing would be the same again. For the good, who do you say that I am? I'd like to invite you who have been Christians for donkey's years to keep on keeping on, to keep on saying your yes to Jesus Christ. And I'd like to invite you, those of us here who can't say an answer to that question, to explore it, to find out more, to learn why Jen thinks it's so fundamentally important that Isaac and Jacob, Joshua, know who Jesus is. That why she thinks it's so important that they're brought up in the life of the church, because knowing Jesus has changed her life too. If you don't know this God who chases after you, who wants you, who takes your crud and nails it to a cross and says, come on home, there's room for you, who changes your life, then maybe you need to be asking yourself that question today. Who do I say that he is? May God bless you as you think hard about that answer that changes the world. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that each one of us may see and understand who Jesus is. May you, through your Holy Spirit, open our hearts to understand that Jesus is the Christ, your Son, our Lord and Saviour. Holy Spirit, would you open our hearts to be open to see, to know, and to believe. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.